Okay, good evening everybody, and as they say in yeshivas, a good winter. Welcome to the winter. So before I start, it's going to be actually the Shabbos Malch, so we're just finishing up from before Yom Tov, but I thought it's Kedai. I was zeichet to make my 12th Siyum on Tanakh. I finished on Simchas Torah, but I made the Siyum on Shal Shudas on Shabbos. And I spoke, so I want to share a few words, not about the Siyum per se, but about really finishing the Yom Tov and going right now into Mar Cheshvan. It's interesting, we benched, we said Birchas HaChodesh for Mar Cheshvan, for the month of Cheshvan on Shabbos, and Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan is going to be this coming Friday and Shabbos. It's an amazing Rabbi Shalom Shadron. Shalom Shadron was one of the great Magidim, one of the great speakers of Yerushalayim. He passed away. I met him. He was at his brother-in-law, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, was the foremost posek in Yerushalayim. He passed away in the 90s. I forgot when. He's a holy man, and he was wont to say that the Yetzirah, the Satan, makes, so to speak, a deal. He says the following thing. He says, in Elul, in Tishrei, he realizes he can't really knock down the Jewish people. It can't be totally successful. We're so focused on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur. So he says, I'll give you El and Tishrei. I'll give you the months of El and Tishrei. But when Mar Cheshvan comes, then you're mine. When Mar Cheshvan comes, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Simchas Torah, all over, then you're back to be mine. I remember many years ago, I read Rabbi Emanuel Feldman's book, Tales of a Shul. I'm just going to hold 1 second. We lost. We're back.
Recording
on.
In progress.
Okay. Many years ago, back. So many years ago, I read Emanuel Feldman's book, Tales of a Shul. And he says the following remarkable thing in this book. He talks about when he became a rabbi. He's actually, today, he's in his late 90s. Became a rabbi at the age of 24. In Atlanta, Georgia. And Atlanta, Georgia in 1952 really did not have a strong Orthodox community. And he became a rabbi of a shul. Most of the people in the shul that he became a rabbi of were grandchildren of immigrants. They had a traditional bent, but were not Shomer Shabbos. And he really came, today Atlanta has a very strong community which he's responsible for. And his son is the current rabbi. He lives in Yerushalayim. His brother is Rosh Hashiva of Near Israel, Near Israel in Baltimore. So he comes in 1952. He's all excited. He gives a metaphor, which then was very germane, of a grandchild who comes to his grandparents' house for the summer in Atlanta, and the grandparents were observant, and the grandchild unfortunately was not, and he said the grandchild came, and throughout the summer he was going to the shul and praying, keeping his Shabbos and kosher, really was living a Jewish life. And at the end of the summer, the grandchild literally went to the mezuzah, so to speak, kissed the mezuzah and said, "Goodbye, God, I'm going home now." In other words, when this grandchild was in his grandparents' house, he lived an observant life, but when he left the house, he said, "Goodbye, God, I'm going home now." So Rabbi Feldman, in his Ne'ilah Drasha, in his first year in Atlanta, he made this case. You know, we grew for the past few weeks. We had Rosh Hashanah, and now we have Yom Kippur. Don't say goodbye, God, I'm going home now. Don't just leave. don't just leave Yom Kippur and say goodbye, God. And he felt really good about himself until one of the board members, who was one of the leading people in a synagogue, not observant, but a leading person in the synagogue, after Yom Kippur, very loudly put his hand on the mezuzah and screamed out, "Goodbye, God! I'm going home now!" And he realized, by the way, that no one drasha, no one sermon, or no one Yom Kippur will, so to speak, flip everything over. But there's a concept that a person could experience a high level, and then let it go. Then move on. Actually, Rabbi Feldman said a remarkable thing that several years later, over a decade later, he actually had, that was a story he told, to make a point. He had a real life experience like that, and he writes this in this book. And he said that, one time, in the summer, one of his neighbors who lived down the block was an observant man, and his grandson from Mississippi came for the summer. And this Scott grandson, Mississippi Scott, started playing with Rabbi Feldman's boys. And Rabbi Feldman's boys were yeshiva bachrim, little boys in elementary school, and they were tzitzis. So this Scott asked Rabbi Feldman if he could borrow tzitzis for the summer. And Rabbi Feldman said, sure, I'll give you a pair, not a problem. So he gave this boy Scott tzitzis, and every day Scott would play ball, basketball, baseball, whatever he would play with the Feldman boys. And at the end of the summer, Scott knocks on the door, and he says that, Rabbi, I'm giving these strings back to you. So Rabbi Feldman says to Scott, you can keep them. The tzitzis are for you. He says, no, Rabbi, I'm going back to Mississippi. I don't need the strings in Mississippi. Right? And so to speak, he wore the tzitzis in the summer in Atlanta with the Feldman boys, but now he's going back to Mississippi. And I used to have this experience every year, by the way, in San Jose, where people, where I was very happy to see certain people, but there were certain people I only saw Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Some people, came Rosh Hashanah and Kippur and never left. I can give a list of such people, and some of them became fully observant or much more observant, and not fully. But Rabbi Shadron was not talking to those people. He was not necessarily talking to the people Rabbi Feldman was talking about. Rabbi Shadron, when he said the Yitzhar makes a deal in Elul and Tishrei where he can't get us, he's talking to you and I. He's saying everybody, Yitzhar, so to speak, the Satan realizes that come Mar Cheshvan, when the holidays are over, when the winter starts, and we're back to the mundane, the levels, the inspiration that we got, it's very easy to lose. I mean, Mendel Kaplan, who was in Chicago for many years in the Skokie Yeshiva, and later ended up being a Magid Shir, a teacher in the Philadelphia, which is widely considered the best yeshiva high school in America. So once asked him how his Yom Tov was, so Mendel Kaplan said, come back to me in a few months and I'll tell you, which means, what was the impact? What wasn't just, what was it transformational? In fact, Rav Huttner, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin of Huttner, said that we say in davening on Yom Tov, we say, V'asi'enu Hashem Elokeinu es birkas mo'adecha, that Hashem should take us up with a blessing, should carry us with the blessings of the holiday. If every Yom Tov Tefillah, that's what we say. So he says that a person thinks that Yom Tov was merely an event, they're very mistaken. Yom Tov is supposed to be an experience, a transformational experience that takes us for the many months ahead. That's what the essence of Rosh Hashanah, of Yom Kippur, of Sukkot, of Simchas Torah is. Actually, we read this past Shabbos, right in the first day of man's creation, that Adam has one mitzvah, not to eat from the tree, Eitz Hadas Torah, from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And of course, Adam eats it. And Adam, who's perfect on the high level, which Kabbalistically we know, that Adam had no impurity in him, which means there was no desire to do anything wrong. It was only externally, which the Nachash, which is the symbolic of the Yitzhara, the Satan, could tempt him. Adam himself is pure and he falls. And from now on, man not only dies, but man is imperfect. Man lost all of his high level. And Hashem says to Adam, Ayeka, Adam, where are you? Adam, what happened to you? And Adam says, he says what he says. Actually, it's interesting. The Ma'am Loyas, who was Yaakov Kuli, who was a great Rav in Turkey in the early 18th century, says that 3,338 years later, when Yirmiyah says Eicha, he was saying the same thing, that Eicha and Yaakov are connected. And that what Yirmiyah said to Jewish people, you had the Beis HaMikdash, you had the temple, you had the Shechinah. What happened to you? What occurred to you? It's interesting. Chazal say, our sages say, that the whole Rosh Hashanah and Yom and Sukkot, the Satan is confounded, and he looks at the Jewish people doing the Shofar and the Lulav and the Esrog, and he's confounded. He can't get us. Why? So Tosfos says, because when Satan sees the Jewish people so excited, doing Torah and Mitzvahs, blowing the Shofar, shaking the Lulav and Esrog, dancing to the Torah, and so excited about Torah and Mitzvahs, he realizes he can't get us. It's only afterwards where we're potentially we become malamot, we do things out of habit. Then the Satan could cause an Eicha. Then the Satan could cause an Ayaka. Where are you? Look at your heights. Why are you saying goodbye, God? What happened to you? When you were like that, the Satan couldn't touch you. So the Rabbi Biderman, I saw Eli Melech Biderman was a great mashpia on in Bnei Brak. So he asked a famous question. He says, why is it that we start to read Bereishis after Simchas Torah and not after Rosh Hashanah? So he quotes the Shin of a Rebbe, the great Hasidic Rebbe, whose father was the founder of the Tzanz dynasty and many other Hasidic dynasties, and Rabbi Yeshua Mibelz, the second Belz of Rebbe, that say that if you, let's say you slept through Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, don't think it's too late. You can start now, come Bereishis, even after, but don't give it up. But I personally want to say the following thing. If we were inspired on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, we have plans. You made plans through the year ahead, Kabbalas. Now is the time to start. Now is the time to start. After it's Yom Tov, when you come into real life, now the Yitzhara, the Satan's waiting, you are on a certain level, he's waiting, so do the Kabbalas immediately. A person, do the resolutions, a person decided to live a Hecher life, to live a higher life, to do more, don't wait. Don't schluff, don't fall asleep now. Now there's no better time to do it than now. You know, the Katzke Rebbe, well, maybe just, and I have a lot more to say about when we get to the Shabbos. The Katzke Rebbe, someone was in Simchas Torah, and he said to the Katzke Rebbe, I'm not so happy, my namesake, by the way, the Katzke Rebbe, I'm not, I'm nothing to dance for in Simchas Torah. I didn't learn any Torah, I didn't do anything. So the Katzke Rebbe says, the main thing about Simchas Torah is not the past. So we're dancing with a Torah for the future. We're dancing that we could take the Torah with us. We can go into the winter, we can go in the next few months and dance for the future. We can continue to grow. That really ties into something I said many times in San Jose, because I love this part, that Dayan Gershon Lapian, who was Eli Lapian's grandson, and for those who know Rabbi Lapian, it was his, I think it's his first cousin once removed, I believe so. His first cousin once removed. So Rav Chaim Lapian. So Rav Dayan Gershon Lapian was a rov in London, and he said a great part. He said that the Gemara in Bava Basra that's Daf Tezvav says that it's a discussion how the last eight verses of the Torah talk about Moshe's death. Who wrote those last eight verses? So one opinion is that Yeshua actually wrote those last eight verses, only those eight verses Joshua wrote. And another opinion is that Moshe wrote those eight verses with tears in his eyes, he was crying. Asked Stein Lapian, what's the pshat Moshe could have wrote the last eight verses crying? Moshe was the greatest person to ever walk this earth. If this is God's will, why was he crying? And Stein Lapian pointed out that when Moshe knew, when he would write those last few words of Torah, that his journey, his was over. He had no more opportunity to connect to Hashem in this world. It would be the end of his life, that his 120 years in this world had come to an end. And Rabbi Lapian said, but you and I, when we read on Simchas Torah, we read those last two words, the Eini Kol Yisrael, that Moshe died in front of all of the Jewish people, we start Bereishis right after. And that's why we dance on Simchas Torah. not because of the Chasin Torah, not because we finished the Torah, because we start the Torah anew. And so as we resume now, after Simchas Torah, we should not make it a mar cheshvan, a bitter cheshvan, because there's no holidays, or give the Yetzirah any opportunity. It should be, as the Hasidim say, aram, a great cheshvan. And if we take all of our inspiration, if it's v'hasiyena esperchas Hashem esperchas matecha, if the Yom Tov, if Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur was not just an event, but was a transformational experience, if we don't say goodbye, God, or I'm going back to Mississippi, but on the contrary, what we're doing tonight, and we're going back to our learning, and if we had personal resolutions, personal inspiration, we immediately apply it. We didn't just finish the Torah, Simchas Torah, we start anew and on a higher level, then the next few months will take us to higher and higher levels, not just in our Torah study, but in our observance in general. And on that note, we're going to go back to our beloved Shabbos Malchasa to work on our Shabbos. And if you remember, we were at the end of actually the Tefillah and Mincha of Ata Echad. We had done a couple of lectures on Ata Echad, and we jumped for the last lecture on Yom Kippur, before Yom Kippur. So Pinchas says the following thing. It says, Yaakov Ubanov, it's the end of Ata Echad. See who the Steinberg has his sitter over there, right? It's the end of Ata Echad. It's at the end. Yaakov Ubanov Yanu Chubo. The Yaakov and his children, they will rest on Shabbos. Minas Menucha, the attribute of Menucha, of rest, is miucheles Yaakov, is specific to Yaakov. V'inei gadol gibor v'neira, we said earlier, that gadol, great, strength, neira, awesome, they were for all three, Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why is it that this is only for Yaakov? Yaakov, who made this neira, Yaakov was the most awesome. Yaakov's whole essence, by the way, I'm not going to go this right now. Yaakov is the one who's on the throne of God, his face. Yaakov is the one who rectifies. He's like Adam before the sin, but Adam before the chet. Right? Yaakov is this tremendous level. Yaakov's whole essence was one of getting to God at its highest level. Mi'al chesed v'gvura olamenu. Yaakov was above the chesed of Aram and the gvura, the strength, so to speak, the din of his father Yitzchak. From kol avodasu shel Yaakov, everything about Yaakov was oyoyino v'noira'o, was upper worldly, above and beyond. V'chmo sh'amru chazal, as the Talmud says in Megillah, Tafit Yiches, Amr Rabbi Acha, Amr Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Acha said the name of Rabbi Elazar. Minayin Shekara Kadosh Baruch Hu Yaakov El, God, so to speak, Hashem calls Yaakov divine. Shneimar Yikrulo Kel Elokei Yisrael, Yikrulo Elokei Yisrael. The Yisaka Daik, I'm just going to go through it real quick. Lama Karlo Yaakov El Yikrulo Yaakov Mibayle El Yikrulo Yaakov El Mikarlo El Elokei Yisrael. Yaakov is called divine, like almost godly. Obviously, Yaakov was a human being like you and I, but he was so perfected that that's why, again, the face, so to speak, of Yaakov, there's of the ultimate man, is of Yaakov and above. Dugma l'davar, that we know that Yaakov, that Avram ma'olam ra'ah, Avram never looked at Sarah in a certain way. We didn't see whatever that means in a certain physical way, sort of spiritually. Yitzhak as well. When we came down from the Akedah, we know that Demoy Samalachim, that he became blinded by some extent at the beginning, and full extent later on, by the when the angels cried over him, whatever that means. We're not going to go deep into that. Even when Rivka came, he saw the camels. He wasn't really even to see her. But Yaakov actually sees Rachel. We know that Yaakov sees, which means Yaakov sees the physicality of Rachel as well, not just the spiritual part. Yaakov was so high that even when he saw the physical, it was that thing. So midas of Avram in Yitzchak are chesed v'gvura is in this world. Yaakov is completely of the highest world, and therefore, when we talk about Yaakov uvanav yanuchobo, that's the highest level. Our menucha on Shabbos is the highest level of holiness. And then we say menuchas ava nedava bo'ilamenu. Hamenucha b'harba mikram hi nachalas m'shatam. We think of rest. We think of lazy people, right? In fact, interesting thing, by the way, if you read Tacitus, I believe, in some of the old, I'm trying to remember which, it looks like years ago, some of the Roman, it's multiple of them, it's very interesting. The Roman historians in the first century coming out, when the Jews become conquered by Rome, and I think it's Tacitus said the conquered have become conquerors, right? Judaism would spread, Jewish ideas would spread in the city of Rome and in the Roman Empire, and that's how early Christianity would start, because they wanted Jewish ideas without halacha, and Saul of Tarsus, Paul, realized that and sold it. But he said the following thing. He called the Jews at one point lazy. Right? Why aren't they working on their Saturdays? Right? Who doesn't work? Lazy people don't work. Right? So you would think menucha, resting, that's what atzlanim do. Right? You see on stoops in the inner city sometimes, people don't work. They just hang out there and play cards or smoke marijuana. Now it's legal everywhere. They smoke in the middle of the streets. Right? Or they drink. They're lazy. So very often you look at rest as something which is a product of laziness. Also hefsek ha mimlocha vehefsek mibinyan olam. You're not working. You're not doing your job, right? Actually, it's one of the things that Haman accused the Jewish people of is being lazy. Why aren't they working, right? So why aren't they working? Sheshmosa hafsi malacha hafsi minon. Misha oivas hamnucha va'atzas karav hadavar shiyavu lidei anis. If you're too lazy, right? I tell my kids, if you want to pass the test, you gotta study. You gotta put the work in. I have a son, my eighth grade son is gonna start vahering testing for high schools. You have to know the material. So you can't just expect the material just like osmosis coming into you, gotta review the Gemara, you have to do the questions back and forth to know it by heart, right? If you wanna do school, you wanna get a degree, you gotta study. It's not gonna just kinda come there. You wanna build a chip, let's see, it's a Fagan's on here with his wife, right? The chips don't come by nature, right? Yehuda and Stavro can tell me the same thing. You have to do it. And if you're lazy, you can come to part with me, Simpson Vikilus. By the way, I hate to say this. You know, when I think about some of my schusim, I'll never forget this, by the way, parenthetically. I remember, with the Israelis, I was very involved in the Israelis in San Jose, besides our Americans and Russians and all else. But with the Israelis in particular, there were different groups. Ashkenazim were way more secular, and most of them did not live in the San Jose area, whether up farther north in Palo Alto, or even farther north than that, besides the Sunnyvale group, I'm talking about the secular Ashkenazim, they were working in tech. The Sephardim were very often in construction, and in buildings, and asbestos, and, different other things around that. And they were working in the malls, the kiosks. And the guys in the malls, to get them not to work on Shabbos, they think their whole career, all the money in the malls, was there. I'm never afraid, it's really like a traditional guy came, to work in the malls. And he can't see that I was coming to shul during the week. And I basically, he didn't keep his first Shabbos there. I said to him, I'm telling you right now, either get back on the plane or you're going to get intermarried. you're ready breaking Shabbos to work in these malls. You will find yourself intermarried in a few years if you continue this way. I got back on the plane, went back to Israel to keep Shabbos. But if I felt he could have kept Shabbos and not worry about his career, I would have told him to stay, perhaps, because he could have done something with him, but I didn't think it was feasible. Menucha of Shabbos, I'm not talking about not working on Shabbos, right? Because you gain nothing by working on Shabbos. That's a different thing of faith and bitachon. You gain nothing, zero, zilch, by working on Shabbos. We all know that. But the menucha of Shabbos is hachadaras shechina ba'olam. It's bringing Hashem into life. And as if you review what we said a few weeks ago, adaraba, Shabbos brings the biggest blessing, brings tosefa shefa. It's a menuchas ava. That's what we say like this. It's a rest of the love. Right? You keep Shabbos, God gives you blessing. God gives you love. Nedava, He gives you a gift. Right? You'll make a career, you'll make money. You know? People, you just have to understand, you're not, you know, don't get caught up in the stupidity. Right? You'll make, Hashem will give you what you need. And it's menuchas emes. The next clause is, it's a menucha of truth. Truth. Resting on Shabbos is a menucha, is a resting of truth. Masha Enken, when normal people, they go to Aruba, or Bermuda, or Hawaii, or if they're like Aspen or Vail, or somewhere in a safari in Africa, or they just like to veg out on their couch, or their back hammock, somewhere in the back there, that very often is a resting of falseness. What's it, why? A person works hard. Put in, you know, your manual labor. You work hard. You work in the mines. You work in the farm. You work in the factory. You get tired. Or you work, you're a lawyer. You have crazy hours doing contracts. Or you're about to come out with a new chip or a new thing. Or you have to work. Or you don't make enough money and you have to work long hours to get enough, you know, money, so to speak, and you work and you get tired, so what happens is, as we discussed a few weeks ago, what happens is when a person, I told someone recently this week, not yet a religious Jew. It's all work and life and balance. I said, you have to make a decision. You know, obviously, you need. I'm not going to have this person happens to be particularly wealthy. But do you care more about your job or your family? Do you care about your job or your health? Do you care about your job or your sanity? Right? And we'd all say, if we'd all think about it, family is more important, sanity, health. Well, the most important thing I told him, if you sacrifice your spirituality, you will kill yourself for eternity. You will lose out for eternity. What do you want more? Do you want to be spiritually sick forever or not? Now, that means you need to work. But when a person works, very often they lose their spiritual self, which means they're disconnected from their creator. They're disconnected from their soul. That's the biggest loss. To be just like a person physically will get sick. You spiritually get sick. You're not taking care of your neshama. You're not caring for your soul. Just like your family, if you don't have a connection to your family, you're going to mess up your family. So, a person gets tired because they've lost the connection to the source of their life, to Hashem. So, you and I, when we, on Shabbat, by the way, I'm not saying you can't take a vacation, I think, for maybe for Judy to go to the mountain, obviously, to the mountains, go hiking, whatever, you know. To you know, travel or to veg, there is a place, but to take care of your body. Obviously, we discussed this a few weeks ago. But the main thing is to reconnect with Hashem, to reconnect with their soul. And therefore, what a person does now, when they're resting on Shabbos and not going to work, that's the true rest. Oisik b'menucha, you're resting. Kedei lahachz la'atzmo, should serve, be able to serve Hashem, to be a person you couldn't should be in this world. And usually menucha is the opposite. It's just to take you out from the physical world, as opposed. And so you why to go back to work? Take a vacation, like to go back to work. You're resting, so you can work harder. Right? You know, you have a break, so you could work, be a better employee for Apple or Facebook or Cisco or Kaiser or whatever hospital or law firm or real estate firm. That's nothing to do with your soul. They just want you to work harder, right, to work better. Masha'inkin Shabbos, the essence of Shabbos, is a true rest, where you connect to your soul and your spiritual, and you take care of your body, rest your body as well. The emuna, and of belief. It's a rest of belief. Mishiyeshlo anias, a person who's poor. Matbeah hadvarim shumale daigis. A person's poverty is not a good thing to be. People who can't pay their electric bill or their mortgage, or can't afford food, or their kids' schools, they're nervous, they're anxious. Nimsa shamrucha tivis amivi b'teva lidei anias. Harasses esamuna v'tav Hashem. On the contrary, a person who rests and comes from laziness and they become poor, they can't focus on Hashem. They're so uptight about their mortgage or their electric bill or their water bill or their loans or their debts or their credit card. They can't think about Hashem. It actually affects their belief in Hashem. Mashe'ink and Shabbos, when a person comes to the right way to view the world and sees Hashem's world, he's calmer. He's more of faith. He sees Hashem as life. He rejuvenates himself with Hashem. Right? By the way, a person would be a better employee. They're more who they are. They have more sense of self and calmness and tranquility and happiness and connection and development. Therefore, Shabbos adds on to Emunah B'Tachon. Then the next clause of the tefillah is, of the prayer is, the rest of Shabbos is a rest of shalom, of peace, of shalva, tranquility, quietness, betach, faith, and trust. Hamnucha tivis, again, very often a person doesn't do their job, you're going to fail the test, you're going to not get the degree, you're going to make the chip, you're not going to get the contract done, or the sale. And what happens is because of your laziness, I'm sure all people who have on teams, if a team player doesn't do the job, you have a partner doesn't do it, you have the fights. You didn't do your job. Now, even husbands and wives, if one person, they have a distribution of duties, and one doesn't do it, can get into a little kerfuffle. Kamosha Amru Chazal, and when there's no, when you're not have food, right? The Talmud says one of the main reasons of fights in Shalom Bayis is there's no food. Bamariva, and when people are upset at partners or at friends, I remember when I was younger, I played a little game called basketball. And if you had a person on the team who was just dropping the ball because they're being lazy, you get upset at them, because if one bad person on the team is your one weak link in the chain, you'll lose the game. Bamariva maybe let's say akas for Oshim called Sarvatsuka, all kinds of fights, Mashenk and Shabbos Kedis. Shabbos is a menucha of love, giving, more bracha, brings peace, happiness. By the way, even parts of the Jewish world that are very dedicated and devoted, and they're in the kollel world, which is a unique part of Klal Yisrael, and they do live very simply, almost by choice, they're very happy. I mean, I've been around them, with myself was. Why? Because they have this menucha. They're very connected. On the contrary, there's a belief. You see a person, they keep Shabbos. They have a different life. Right? They're happy in life. They're calm in life. They're tranquil in life. Right? A person who's calm and has faith and trust in God lives a different life. And Shabbos is the greatest manifestation and the greatest generator of that. Shai Menuchas Shabbos, the rest of Shabbos, is Makreves as Ha'adam, brings a person to Hashem. Right? We've been talking about this for months. Shabbos connects us to our Creator, connects us to Hashem, everything about it. And therefore, a person is connected to Hashem. They have shalom, they have peace and rest and tranquility. Mikol, and they have bracha and blessing, and they delight in their Judaism and their connection to Hashem. Tamid. Next clause. Minucha shlema shatar. It's the total rest which you, Hashem, want. Zuba kashigol sheniska. We ask Hashem. That's a great request. B'Shabbos kodesh on the holy Shabbos. We ask Hashem, the menucha amitis, to this true rest, to Hashem wants. Lo rak munucha. We don't want to just have a day of rest. You know, when a Gentile or a Nebuch, even a second Jew, I told you the story. I invited somebody who had been a reform when I was in law school in Penn, from between Lakewood and Vabonis, was in law in Penn. So I invited somebody, his name was Aaron, he came to my house for Shabbos. And he'd been a reform counselor in the reform camp. And he, comes for Shabbos. And, he asked me like Friday night, well, when do we play Monopoly? I said, what do you mean Monopoly? He said he once went for one Shabbos to a very person, like, it must have been marginally modern Orthodox. And they play Monopoly. That was their Shabbos activity, their rest. So I said, Aaron, you're up for a big surprise at Shabbos. he ended up being traditional, like conservative type. But, he actually came a long way for himself. We asked him for the true menucha. Rak menucha muvan alame, that we should not just have a day of rest, we don't go to work, where I know certain people are pushing for the Shabbos project, no technology for one Shabbos. Great thing, great idea. But really, it's not just having no technology, which is a huge thing for people. But it's to connect to Hashem, right? It's the ultimate rest. Hanubitul gamor, you're not connected at all. There's no world. We discuss this. When Shabbos comes, there's no contract, there's no deal, there's no firm, there's no job, there's nothing. It's all about connecting to Hashem. There's nothing. You don't worry about the mundane, your weekday, or the taxes, or your deal. We're just with Hashem. As I mentioned, if you're worried about your tax deal, about your whatever, your wedding, your kid's wedding, you're missing the boat. You're losing where you're at your wedding. You don't think about anything else, right? If I have to be more graphic, if you were in the bedroom with your spouse, you don't think about anything else. There's nothing else important, right? That is the essence of Shabbos. That's the true rest. And we ask Hashem for that. We want to be totally connected to you, Hashem. Then, two more clauses. I'm going to finish out this chapter. We'll be done for tonight. Yakiru banecha v'yedu. Your children, us, you and I, should recognize you and know that from you, Hashem, comes the menucha. The rest comes from you, Hashem. Kim itrahi menuchasam. Shekol niskar is kayim. When will we get this true rest? When will we get all the bracha and the happiness and tranquility? We'll be like Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov. When we recognize all the true rest comes from you, Hashem. Shkola nizkar yiskayim rakash and neda. Where we know what the essence of the menucha of Shabbos is. Ve'echinim delis me'menucha, where our rest is oilam ulah. We're not sitting, we're not lazy like Tacitus thought, which if you, or letting our fields turn to weeds. Like Shlomo HaMelech talks about a lazy man doesn't do the farming, he needs to keep to have a healthy field. Shabbos is menucha. We think it's just a time to catch up and sleep, or to get back into our health. You're missing the boat. Of course, there is an idea of rest, physical rest on Shabbos, but you're missing the main point of Shabbos. When you're missing what real menucha is, you're missing why Hashem gives us Shabbos. Menuchasam, and with our rest, yaktishu. We should sanctify your name, Hashem. Again, it shouldn't be a lazy view. Should people look at it? Oh, these Jews, they don't do their job. They don't work on Shabbos. Not involved in the world. On the contrary, we keep Shabbos. We build the world, right? Obviously, if you're in a certain type of job, you have to make up your hours if necessary. But Shabbos is holy, right? I think Joe Lieberman, Senator Joe Lieberman, blessed memory, right? Wrote a whole book on this. Almost became the vice president of the United States doing this. And he sold it. I remember him walking to Shoal, Miami Beach when he was a vice president. I wasn't there. My parents were in that shoal. That's a Kiddush Hashem. There's a deeper point of life. And we exemplify that. Muhammad was upset about it. They're not working at that on this day. So we ask Hashem, right? No, we should be the greatest sanctification of our name. When we keep Shabbos correctly and properly, and we're the people we could and should be, then it should be Chasim Yisrael. We ask Hashem through our rest, which is Shabbos, we should sanctify our name. That ends this chapter, which is explaining Atzeh Echad. And next time we will learn about why we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. I wish everybody a good winter. We should keep our inspiration that we had from Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot going forward. On the contrary, it should propel us that we don't say goodbye to Hashem, but we have more Hashem in our lives, more Torah in our lives. And the Yitzhar should be constantly frustrated as we go, Mechayel al Chayel.